Did you ever think that the latter half of your life would require this much ibuprofen? The Kate Daly Show starts now.
But I will always be real with you. I will be bold without the bowl.
I can't stop laughing every time I hear that.
It's amazing.
I'm going to be bold without the bold. What does that mean? Said Eric Swalwell, running for president.
He's going to be smart without the smart. Holy moly.
You just got to love it. I mean, it's you know what it is? It just screams sound clip to me that we'll make fun of forever because it's so funny. I mean, these guys make fun of Trump? Have they listened to themselves?
It's like when Jeb Bush said, please applaud.
Please clap. I have that clip. Please clap. Yeah. Clap, please. That was the best, man. No one liked him.
No.
And, you know, they had spent a lot of money prepping him to be president. They actually made sure that they tooled him around all over the globe and globetrotted with him and met all the officials from all the other countries, all the presidents of all the other countries, so that he would have all these relationships, if you know what I mean, wink, wink. And they were ready, set, and ready to get him into office. And he fell so flat on his face, Jeb Bush, which
yeah,
I'm
did.
Not a fan of the Bush family. The more study I ever did about the Bushes, oh my gosh, it's endless. And I just am not a fan. So this conservative can't stand that family. They're right on par with the Clintons with me. And they're besties, too. Best friends.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people still even understand that. They should by now. I mean, they've been arm in arm and slobbering all over each other for years. And with the Obamas, too. And they're all sort of a little pack of a little group. But yeah, their history is so awful. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you're tuning in. And, of course, I'll take a caller. Why not? 888-673-1450. We're live. You can call up. Go right ahead, caller.
Hey, Kate, anytime you play that clip of bold without the bold, you need to play the clip of Fredo from The Godfather where he tells Michael, I'm smart. I can run things.
Okay. You got it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Oh, I love you guys. All right. Too funny. I wanted to, there's a couple things that we need to talk about. We need to talk about the tanker happening, and what they were prepping that to be. We also, what happened in the whole Iran, I think it points to war with Iran. But an incident. Gosh, an incident on a ship. Have we ever done that where something has happened to a ship? And then we start accusing people. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Anyway, pretty sure that's been done. We also need to talk about this story, this New York Times story about Russia and the power grid.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, this is very interesting because the other mainstream, wouldn't really touch it. And I also want to talk about this too. There's a summer camp right now. I know you're not even going to believe this. Antifa. The Antifa summer camp. I can't imagine. 10-year-old daughter, what would you like to do? Go to the Antifa summer camp.
Yeah.
The indoctrination camp for the radical leftist activism. I guess they have to come with a bandana for over their face so that nobody sees who they are. Like, that's usually how Antifa operates, right?
Yeah.
Okay, in secret. So, yes, Portland. Portland professional protesters. The PPP. Portland. Have raided fur farms, set fires to SUVs and ski resorts, run companies they don't like out of town. A real fun group, if you will, of leftists. Pooped on American flags, super high IQ, got it all going on. These are the same people. Now they want to pass on how to do all this, especially the pooping part, to your 10 to 13-year-old child. Yeah.
I'm going to have to call my son.
I know, right? Can you just... My grandkids need to be a part of that,
my
right?
granddaughter would just love this.
Yes. And it's not an article on the Babylon Bee or the Onion, I promise. This is actually the Portland professional protesters have planned a summer camp to teach children from the 4th to the 8th grade in the not-so-fine art of professional monkey wrenching. And this is the second year of the effort. Probably didn't hear about the first year because I don't even think they had somebody actually say they wanted to send their kid to this. But I guess these leftists think that besides teaching swimming, you know, and campfire songs, that they would also like to incorporate how to strong arm your ideas into the American sphere and freeing caged lab animals. So, yeah. The Budding Roses Summer Camp refers to how these babes in the woods learn how to become anarchists. Yeah. Wow. That's fresh. I want to meet the parent. No, I don't. I don't want to meet the parent that would bring their kid to this camp.
Well, here's what's their...
I can't even say that facetiously. I can't.
A church is hosting this.
Yeah.
A church.
I've heard of summer camps, but this one takes on a whole new idea. Yeah, how to work and operate in the cover of blackness. You know, black hoodie, black bandana, whatever you need to do to cover yourself so that nobody knows who you are. Because that's a good honest, that's a good honest protest right there. Sweet.
St. Peter and Paul Church in Portland, Oregon. That sounds awful Catholic to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. There's something weird here.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some more research.
The camp is sponsored by the Black Rose Anarchist Federation, affiliated with the violent leftist Antifa group. So they're calling it the Antifa Summer Group, Summer Camp. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, the fact that we even have that should just shock people. The fact that we even have a camp that's offering to take your little 10-year-old, little innocent kid into a camp like that and teach him the ways of violent protesting in America. You know, these groups have taken protesting to an all new low and violent at that. I mean, violent. It's awful. Anyway.
However,
yeah.
In all fairness, mm-hmm. if you think we're going to lose the United States of America, it might be a good idea to send your kid. It'd be like sending them to the Hitler Youth in Germany.
That's true.
Just before the war.
Gosh. How to throw a Molotov cocktail? Yeah. Sweet. I want that class for my kid. Yes. How to manufacture an IED, I don't know, you know, run people out of town, threaten people with violence and make sure that you're not seen as you, you know, doing it. How to attempt how to go to a Trump rally. Yeah. And start something. Yes, because that's what they do.
Well, they're not charging anything. Most summer camps, you know, you have to pay a fee for.
No, don't tell people that. They'll probably jump on it. It's free? I don't even care what it is.
Yeah.
It's free babysitting.
Let's go.
This is so bad. One more scary thing. Tech robots now have the power of touch. I just wanted to mention that because we're going in some really weird directions with tech now. And to understand and know that we're on so many levels, we're actually 20 to 30 years ahead of where we are right now. But this is where they're telling us we're at right now with these robots. And anyone that is in association with DARPA or anybody on that side of the funding arm of government will tell you that we're 20 to 30 years ahead always. They just sort of leak it out slowly, so they're always ahead of the game. But yeah.
St. Peter and Paul Church?
Yes.
It's Episcopal, not Catholic.
You've restored your faith in the
It's not Catholic, it's Episcopal.
That saved you from the heart attack you were just about to have. Oh, those Episcopalians. No, I'm just teasing. All right. Wow. It's surprising. But yes, tech robots can touch now. And by the way, the sex robots are selling off the shelf.
How much are they?
How much are they? Can you even imagine? Like, that's... Okay, so this is the discouraging segment, because you just can't believe that... We've just got a lot of creepy people out there. Really,
yeah,
really,
no,
we do. We have an epidemic.
There's something wrong with a person who wants to have a sexual relationship with a robot.
Yeah.
There really is.
And they really do think they're in a relationship.
Yeah.
That's the sad part. So I wanted to let everyone know that, just because if they're flying off the shelves, we got problems. We got problems in this country. And it all starts with, I think, porn, too. It is. Porn is just, it's sick. Very, very sickening.
Right,
ouch.
Right here in River City.
Right here in River City. The other thing, $15 an hour for Congress. People were saying if it's a living wage, it could be a living wage for Congress,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
I actually think they're quite comparable to the McDonald's worker. You show up, you're breathing, you get to wear a uniform, which is a suit, and you get told by people what to say and do, just mm-hmm. like Congress does, mm-hmm. By those that own you and the corporation, the establishment. So I actually think they should just make minimum wage as it stands. But that's my argument. $15 is just a little too much for Congress. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Regarding Robotcha, or robotics, or whatever you want to call it, the revolution.
Yes.
I haven't heard anybody discuss this. I haven't read it anywhere, but mm-hmm. As a relatively new Christian, shall we say, mm-hmm. who struggled his whole life with wondering if this was created or just happened, mm-hmm. you know, like the atheists think everything just happens.
Right, just coincidence.
All these robots keep going closer and closer to naturally occurring animals.
Mm.
You know, in shape. Think about it.
Yeah.
They had the first robots, well, not first ones, but the mm-hmm. tank type, you know, they got roller treads and wheels and claws and this kind of stuff. But the delivery boy, that I don't know if you've seen the video, they show these employees trying to knock over this delivery boy robot to see if he can handle a package while going up steps and getting something thrown at him. They're trying to make these things, give them fuzzy logic. But this thing, mm-hmm. it's mechanical, but it has human form. Yeah. I'm expecting toes anytime, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, you can't.
Trying to get the dog one and not a wheel on the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and yet, how can people justify that there is nothing in creator, there is no creator when mankind's best efforts is going towards the creator's creations?
Yeah. Yeah. The counterfeit. The counterfeit of a human.
Yeah. The counterfeit mm-hmm. is trying to duplicate or finding out that if the closer mm-hmm. they can duplicate, animals like the yellow dog mm-hmm. that can open a door, but that's just got a TV stream. It's still an animal form, and these human forms for battle, for combat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Come on, folks. It's right there. It's the best way to do it. Maybe, maybe it was designed, huh?
That's a great point. I'm actually glad you said that. Thank you very much. That's a great point.
Yes, it was.
Right on the money. I love it. He's right. He's right. They're getting good at the counterfeit, but the counterfeit will never measure up, not even in part. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There's something we got to talk about before we get to the other stuff, and that is the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court. We have to talk about this for a second. And I invite your calls, 888-673-1450. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. You can go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts. I encourage you to get a hold of those podcasts and share them far and wide on social media. There's also shorts. That means that it's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes of a clip that are easy to send to people too. Easy listening that you can get done real quick. And make sure that you're getting on katedalyradio.com to check that out. And to share those podcasts because they really do need to be heard. When Dr. Warren Farrell was talking about the difference between how men parent and women parent, I thought it was so great. That's on a short clip of like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. That's awesome. And you can share that real quick. And it really does help, but it makes an impact. And so please do so. He was my guest on Friday. Ted Nugent will be on mid-July. And he's going on tour. He'll hit our show right before he goes on tour. Ted Nugent's always real fun to listen to when it comes to politics. I love it. Uncle Milty's with me. And, of course, the Supreme Court handing back to the lower courts the cake baker decision, the Oregon one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
no,
it was
no,
the
Colorado
one. It was the Colorado one, handing it back. I want to say I want to say this. This is very interesting what Kennedy said. Listen to what he said, and are you hearing the same thing I am? He said these disputes must be resolved with tolerance. So they're sidestepping. Okay, the big question is it religious rights over LGBT, or is it LGBT over religious rights? Okay, this is what Kennedy says. Ugh, Kennedy, these disputes must be resolved with tolerance, without undue disrespect to sincere religious beliefs, and without subjecting gay persons to indignities when they seek goods and services. Okay. Just to take that apart, what's your first take when you hear that sentence?
Nonsense.
It is nonsense. Look at, okay, you've got religious beliefs on one side.
Sincere.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sincere religious beliefs.
That's a big difference.
That is. Tells a lot about that judge.
Well, how do we know your religious beliefs are really like, sincere?
Like real. Really real. Okay. Here's the other half of the equation, right? Because you have religious rights versus LGBT rights. And the court keeps sidestepping this in the Supreme Court.
But it doesn't say sincere LGBT.
No,
rights.
It doesn't. But it also says this, without subjecting gay persons to indignities when they seek goods and services. Now, I didn't realize that the Supreme Court is supposed to parse out what people feel is an indignity. What people feel is an indignity. So this is very interesting to me because when you talk about gay rights, all that's the only place they can go is, well, they suffered an indignity. Well, could they go anywhere else and buy it? Well, sure, they could go right next door and buy it. Then how is that an indignity? I'm sorry, they can go anywhere. They're not being shunned from society like in the leper camp and not allowed to purchase anything. No, they just didn't like it that shop said no to them.
Well, you know, it's actually a little more complicated, I think, because the shop, if they went in and said, hey, we want a wedding cake, they could have gotten that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a particular
picture of something.
Yeah, and it depicted
certain parts.
Yeah, a sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they refused to do.
Right.
So the indignity, I think what they're trying to say is, just by being refused was an indignity to them.
Right.
No. They weren't just refused. I mean, it would be no different than if a girl who was getting ready to get married said, hey, I want a cake with a penis on it for my bridal shower.
Right.
No, we don't do those.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm indignant.
You need to go to the X-rated shop down the street.
Yeah. I mean, there's only a certain type of place that's going to do that kind of thing.
What I find intriguing about this, and not in a good way, is that they're equating the two as if the two match in merit.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't. They're confusing. They're going apples and oranges here. You've got religious beliefs. We left the other country to form this one, founded on the freedom of religion, the freedom of religious beliefs. And then you've got LGBT rights way over here in a subcategory of 5% of the nation, and not even all 5% even really care about those LGBT rights. You have the military sort of aspect of that group fighting for this, and they're gonna try to equate it by saying it's an indignity because not everyone is going to suffer our demands. I didn't realize that you could be demanding, and then if people don't cave to your demand, that's an indignity. Wow.
Article,
we're new ground.
Article 54, Section 22 of the Constitution says, indignities override all
Really?
All right.
I missed that sentence. Yeah. I missed that sentence. If you feel that your feelings have been hurt and that somebody didn't cave to you, whatever it was that you wanted at the moment, that might have made you feel bad. So they're equating that with religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore religious beliefs. That's... And doesn't even have to be hardcore. Now, they're saying it does because it has to be sincere, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. But Kennedy is, this is so asinine that we are even parsing this out, because now they're parsing out sort of this new religious, what religious practices and what religious freedoms are going to get protected and what more marginal ones are going to get regulated. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that there were many categories under this one umbrella. It's and then the audacity to regulate the ones that you feel that you just want to without any authority. Awesome.
This is about the Equality Act.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. The Equality Act is so damaging, so horrific, because it really does pit these two together. It really mm-hmm. or pit them against each other equally with equal force. And so you can say that if somebody is in the, you know, belongs to the Butthurt Academy of America, if they get their feelings hurt, that's the same as a person over here that believes in Christ that's saying, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to turn your business down. I'm so sorry. I just cannot do that. Wow.
Well, it's like if you're discriminating against the black person,
mm-hmm.
you can't say, well, I don't like what they're doing because of my religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in religion that says there's something wrong with being black.
Right.
But your religious beliefs can say that you don't believe in homosexuality mm-hmm. based on your religion.
Yeah.
They can't override that.
And that as a business owner, I don't want to do something indecent. In what I feel is indecent.
That's
I'm a
right.
business owner. I get to say what I do. I'm not your slave because you walk in here with a list of demands. I'm not a slave to my customer. I serve my customers, but I'm not a slave. And so
that's
this
right.
is where that sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because you're the business owner. You're not a slave to anyone. What if they end up ruling on this? If this ends up going the other way, that means you are a slave to whoever walks in your door. You do not get a say. And that's what the Equality Act is really saying.
That's right.
Is you are a slave to anybody that feels anything is an indignity, right? Or you're going to hurt my feelings,
yep.
and this is why. And now you've opened this entire big can of worms through the Equality Act. Oh, my gosh. We're heading into some weird territory. The fact that the Kennedy said that was really disturbing.
Well, he's retired.
I know. It's but but disturbing. And
sure it is.
That's what he wrote in the masterpiece ruling last year. And so now the justice has asked lower courts to consider whether proceedings in the new case live up to that standard. What standard? What standard? The standard that there's equality in that?
Yeah.
Man,
it proves one thing.
What's that?
It proves that everything that's been wrong with the Supreme Court for the last two mm-hmm. decades
yes.
was real.
Yeah. And, yes. And he even wrote, because he wrote the disputes that must be resolved with tolerance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that we reserve the protections in the Constitution, and then that's our job, is to read the Constitution and protect what's allocated in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they forgot about that a long time ago. That's what's so unfortunate. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Actually, I heard a minister over the weekend talk about this whole, mm-hmm. The homosexual wedding cake, flowers, so
yes.
forth.
Yes.
It said, once you agree to take a corporate license, you're under the jurisdiction of the state. He said, the only way to stop this is don't take a license from the state.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, that could be a real easy, scapegoat, too, to get people to go along with it, too. But maybe. I mean, I think any entanglement, yes, could probably put you in this, but also the government is supposed to be there to protect these God-given rights that we have, and I don't see much of that going on. Thank you, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, you can't waive your constitutional rights because you got a license to bake a cake.
And because they force you to do the license.
Right.
Otherwise, so they're putting you, what, in a huge quandary there?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. But I do think that's kind of a scapegoat.
That pastor was making an excuse for giving in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually think so, too. We're going to see a lot more of that, too.
Well, we see a lot of it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of churches have caved to a lot of these things.
Yeah. To hear the Supreme Court put that on equal footing, they might suffer an indignity by not everybody getting their list of demands. You know, even just without being gay, if I walk in and I demand a business to do something obscene or do something that they don't want to do, everybody realizes that Equality Act, I mean, I could walk out saying it was because I was a woman or a Mormon or whatever. I mean, I could walk out with 100 reasons as to why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was just not get my list of demands.
Well maybe that's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go into businesses and take it to ridiculous extremes to show how wrong this is.
How this is insane.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're hurting my feelings.
Yeah. I'm suffering. Yeah.
You better just
a moment
do as I
where,
say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I heard this guy talking, and he was talking about, you know, if I was discriminated against, you know, they would pay. Well, how about this? If you're discriminated against or you feel like you are, just take your business elsewhere. And that's what America was supposed to be about, that you could be the person that says, I'm a business owner and I'm not a slave to you, my customer. And for some reason, there are people out there that are, well, I mean, they must have attended the Antifa summer camp.
Yeah.
As a child.
No, these are the same kind of people.
This is how you do it. Yep. This is how you ruin somebody else's life.
These are the same kind of people that believe they're entitled to participate in the business owner's profits, too, when they work for them.
Yes. Bingo. Bingo, gringo. Be right back on KTEL. He just rolled his eyes. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
He said you can have all of this sun. All for nothing. All for free. Just sign your name on this dotted line for me. Cheated me, took me for a ride.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. You know, we have so much to get to in the show, and I just know we're not going to. And so I'm going to shelve some of it for tomorrow, because I do want to talk about that tanker incident. There's way more to that. And I also want to talk about New York Times, if we can get there. But we have to talk about something, because this is just driving me insane. The same insanity of not respecting a business owner in this country to say that a business owner, I own a business, and I get to do what I want, and my customer is not my slave, and I don't have to meet a list of demands no matter who walks into my, because that would mean that I would have to make any obscene thing that was against my values at any time on demand. I'm sorry, I'm not somebody's slave. So this is about as ridiculous. They called, I'm not kidding you with this, they called Tim Allen, who's one of the only conservatives left on media today, in TV today, who's outspoken about it. They called him a racist, that he's openly racist, because of a clip, right? A clip from an old interview. But I want you to hear, because this is the new communist 50s card right here. All you had to do is whisper the word communist and somebody was out. Pariah, rest of their lives, arrested, everything else. They call him a racist, but why? What did he say that was actually this racist comment? Not that would even mean he was a racist, but what happened? Because it was about a conversation with Tom Hanks.
It was a conversation with Tom Hanks and some Zilla Valentine, some journalist, supposed journalist. And they were discussing playing the game, card game Spades.
Right.
And Tom Hanks said something like, well, you don't know how to, Tim Allen said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you don't know how to play spades? He says, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then he said, but I'll pretend I do so we can move on.
I'm sorry, that was it?
They were talking about that, the card game spades. During the exchange, Valentine and Hanks were discussing strategy of the game of spades. And Allen interjected, he just didn't know what they were talking about. And so,
can you say
some
reaching?
Some social wow. media users who watched this clip said that there was evidence that Allen is a racist.
Yeah, they said that he said Tom Hanks is so cool. I tested his knowledge of black culture.
Yeah,
isn't that giving him a compliment? I'm sorry. What?
What I want to know is, what did he do all of a sudden that they want to label him as a racist? What has he done lately?
They've been trying to get him out of there for a long time.
I mean, he's just a conservative. Mm-hmm. Every conservative is a racist. Isn't that true?
This is, you know, this is the new way to do it. So you get a hold of some old clip. Obviously, in some interview, he was using the N-word in comedy, okay? And you can get a hold of some old clip and you can say basically that somebody's a racist. All you have to do is make the accusation now. Really, there doesn't have to be much proof. All you have to do is conjure up some proof through something that you think's offensive through an interview at some point without any context at all. And then you label the person. You label them that. That's what they are. And no way to fight it. Because social media, this is the court of public opinion. And then careers are over. And I'm not saying Tim Allen's is, and I'm hoping it's not. But this is how out of control the court of public opinion has become, too, is that we're fostering this by engaging with this. That's insane. That is insane. They said that basically he used the word, because he was answering to, he said, if I have no intent, if I show no intent, then I'm clearly not a racist. Then how can saying the word N-I-G-G-E-R be bad coming out of my mouth? He's asking. He's actually countering this by saying, I'm sorry, what are we, you know, he was actually kind of mocking this whole idea that somebody would be a racist by saying, and now they're calling him a racist.
Well, what he's saying is, it depends on the context of how you're using words.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
So you can't even then comment, just like we are on a story. Because now if we comment on this story where he commented
just
on the very
like
fact
you
of
even
this,
spelling the word.
Yes. Now we're racist.
Yeah.
And that's the new trump card, if you will.
Regardless of the context.
Right.
The context was we were trying to describe this article.
We're going to have to use, like, code words. We're going to have to be more overt than ever.
You know, he did say one other thing. He said,
Louise.
He said he finds, actually, the phrase the N-word is just as bad. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that way, too. What is the difference between saying the actual word or the N-word?
You're referring to the same word.
You're referring to the exact same thing.
It is kind of amazing. I mean, it really is.
It's like saying, from now on, I'm going to call pink green.
Yeah.
So every time I say green now, you remember it really means pink.
Yeah. No,
so when
right.
I say the N-word, it really means this.
Now think about this. We've gotten to a place in society where we have to divert meaning onto another word to show that you're not this very drastic, very insane description of something. That's, wow.
But in the meantime,
we're letting our feelings get way too ahead of us. Holy cow.
And while all this is going on, mm-hmm. we listen to black people call each other that all the time.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No, that's all right.
That's all right.
But don't mention it. Talk about it. Because if you even talk about the fact that that even happens, you're now a racist. People do know what being an actual racist is, right?
I believe so.
And let me just say this. In a country like America, you can actually be a racist if you wanted to be. Did you know that?
You can.
Did you know that we're afforded that luxury by protection?
They can't make a law.
You can be anything you want. You're through social media, you're a pariah. But isn't it interesting how this is what we use for conformity in this country? Don't be called a racist. Oh, don't be called a sexist. Don't be called any of those things. But in actuality, you can be all of those things. You can be a bundle of sexism and racism in America because we are supposed to be a free people. You can be anything fantastic and you can be anything horrible. But we have the freedom to be that. But now we're couching it in all of these terms. We're coming up with, you talked about it, therefore you are that. It's amazing how they're using this accusation.
Well, I guess what it really boils down to is you're free to be who or what you want to be. But you're not free to insist that everybody else accept and respect
it. So you're free to be the most insanely strange, obscene person on the planet. You're free to be all that because that's allowing somebody's freedom.
Right.
But you're not free to be anything horrible. You're just okay to walk around in a barely clad and be transgender in this country, even if you really aren't, but just want to be at the moment and want to be perceived as something totally crazy. That it's a good thing to allow that person to be free. To be a free person, free thinking person, but not anything else.
No.
That's interesting. Hi,
no.
I love the new parameters. No. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I remember my dad used to use the term agitators.
Ah, yeah.
And when I was a kid, I wasn't sure exactly what he was getting at. But yeah, it's just agitation. When you brought it up, it's one of their oldest tricks or oldest tropes or whatever you want to call it before using, you're racist. That stops the conversation.
Yeah.
This has been around for decades. There was a TV show called Boston Public way back.
Oh, yeah.
In the late 90s or something like that when TV was still worth watching. And the cool teacher, Michael Rapaport, whatever, brings in a whole case, a whole box of these books, paperback books that somebody actually wrote. I don't remember who. Doesn't really matter. But the name of the book is that word, right? Because he wants to get a discussion going in the class.
Right.
And I'm thinking, now this is pretty cool because they can go far with this. But, of course, they didn't do it because there's like 30 kids and they're all gorgeous. You know how Hollywood is. Hollywood ugly is a good-looking person. But there's 30 kids in that class and they all are varying colors. And, of course, a fight breaks out between two kids before he even gets them all handed out because, well, what do you do? Well, you said the word. Well, you can't say it. Because he's not black. Right then, that teacher should have lined the kids up against the wall and told them, okay, I want you guys to do your own decision-making here and arrange yourself from the lightest-skinned kid to the darkest skin, along that wall. And now start to the darkest kid and say, can you say that word? Yeah. Can you say it? Can you say it?
Geez.
Sooner or later, they're going to get to a point where they're going to argue about who can say it or not because it's all about the shade of color.
Yeah, you're black enough.
It would have illustrated the joke. It would have totally took it out of the water, and they dropped the ball by not doing that. Because it is truly about, are you black enough?
Yeah.
Now, I'm told you got to have slave blood, but who knows that looking at somebody.
Right, of course.
It's just a joke, and they should slap it down. But they never do.
No, they never do. Thank you for that. Yeah, they never do. There was a school that allowed pride flags to go up. And so a Christian student went around and put up posters about biblical passages about it. Hers were offensive. They took that down, but left the pride flag up.
That's not offensive.
Yeah. I mean, don't you remember the last time you were at court and only one side got to present before the judge made a decision? Yeah. Or the debate team and only one side gets to debate only one aspect of an argument. Yeah. Because that's America. So if they're going to be willing to put up the LGBT flag, they should be willing to put up the counter to that too.
Of course.
And have a discussion, have a debate. I don't care what it is, but if they're going to allow one, allow the other. It's the same kind of thing. It's this public, the court of public opinion on what's okay and what's not. Are you black enough? Are you not? If you're LGBT, you get a pass on anything you want to do. But if you're a Christian, that might be subject to a little bit more scrutiny.
Well, Christians are evil.
Well, yes, and hateful, apparently. And so it's kind of like when they called Trump a racist. Trump had a black girlfriend.
Well, that doesn't mean he wasn't a racist.
Right. It's a blanket. It's a nice, cozy blanket statement for those that want to control. That's what it is. And they want to shut up everybody else. So all they have to do now is say, so-and-so is a racist, and you're out. Wow. You can't defend yourself, and you can't even use the argument to defend, because if you do that, you're even more racist, because you're even talking about it. So, yeah, we're at a weird place with political correctness. Are we going to stand for it, or are we not going to? I mean, we actually have to start standing for a lot of these people, that these cake bakers, these kids in the schools, these people that are trying to stand for the other side. And I'm going to say, even if you don't agree with the other side, at least allow both sides to have their say. Why are we standing there contradicting what free speech is supposed to be all about, you know? And even for the stuff I disagree with, I have to be on board with allowing them. I don't like the Church of Satan. It's despicable. It's horrific to me. It's horrific that they would actually even call themselves a church. But you know what? They have a right to be out there. And I would never squelch what they have to say. I would never, because I can't, because otherwise I'm going to get myself, you know, squelched. So
people are being tricked right now. Mm-hmm. There's an issue going around where there's supposed talk about making it illegal again to burn the flag.
Right, right.
And a lot of conservatives are saying, well, I know that we have the freedom to do this, mm-hmm. and you can't make that illegal, but mm-hmm. I understand how awful it is to me to have the flag burned, but they're trying to trick us into trying to make it illegal to burn the flag because it'll make us look like hypocrites, like they are.
Right. Well, and you have to be able to stand for what you don't like. And I really do believe that. I think that we get tossed into that, and then it's used against. And so when it's used against you, then now you've forfeited your right, right? So we really have to be careful in what we're trying to shut down. We really do. I want to live in an America where I see a representation of all things, because then I see a representation of myself. And if I start acting like these Nimrods who make these kinds of decisions or these accusations, everybody should have pounced on that guy for putting that up and saying, now he's a racist now. See? And they should have said, are you kidding me? You can't walk around saying that about somebody. He's never even demonstrated. And plus, in America, so what? They should have said, so what? It would have just absolutely erased what that guy was trying to do and get everybody aboard the political correctness train. So what? So what if he's a racist? So what? We have to make it a so what now. We have to be and stand for all these people getting annihilated through political correctness. Thanks so much. We'll be back tomorrow. We will talk about the tanker and New York Times tomorrow, because both are just huge stories. We'll be back with that. And everybody be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow.